Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So, let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or guests we should reach out to for future episodes. And if you haven't already done so, make sure that you are subscribed to NIMSY Insights. We are coming to you live today on X, Facebook, YouTube, all of the regular platforms, and of course LinkedIn, where all of the recordings will be recorded, stored afterwards. If you want to check out old episodes, go to our YouTube archive and you can check out old episodes of NIMSY Live. So without further ado, I'm going to get right into it today. Today we are talking about Vamos Juntos. Vamos Juntos 2025 in Mexico City was a huge success. For those of you who haven't had the opportunity to attend, Vamos Juntos is a relatively new but very popular conference in Latin America for the translation and localization industry. Today we are going to talk to Charles Campbell, founder of Vamos Juntos, and also hear from Kathy Bird, who was a panelist and speaker at the conference. So stay tuned for a recap of the latest conference in Mexico City and some sneak peeks that we're going to be looking at for next year's conference in, well, I was going to say I don't want to give it away, but it's already in the title here, up in down in Buenos Aires. Kathy Bird is an enterprise localization manager at Korn Ferry, and as I mentioned, a speaker at this year's Vamos Juntos event. Charles, Kathy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you, Tucker. Oh, thank you, Charlie.
An honorable mention. I should mention that Patrick Nunez was supposed to be here today, but unfortunately he got called into some real work. Some of us have real jobs and we have to do some real work. So he's not going to be able to join us today, but he was also a speaker down there. So I gave a quick introduction for everybody, but I feel like I'm missing out. Kathy, I was checking out your LinkedIn profile and you've been around the industry for a while. You've got quite the CV here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, would you?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah, I've been in the localization industry for over 14 years. And I have experience working as everybody, both on the vendor and on the client side, doing different roles. You know, I've been an in-house translator. I've worked as a localization project manager. Back in the day, I used to work at the International Monetary Fund, where I led the marketing localization vertical. And there, I also manage and maintain the translation memories and the terminology databases. Also, I was a GoPro for a couple of years, and there I managed the localization of the websites across 11 global markets. And now, like you say, I'm at Korn Ferry, and they do localization of human management capital software into 30 languages. And right now, I'm working with different LSPs to create prompts and to enhance the output from OpenAI. We use Gen AI to do our translations now.
Wow, it's quite the introduction. I'm glad I turned that over to you. I did not do you justice when I introduced you. And Charles, of course, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You're a busy guy. I know Vamos Juntos is one of the things that you're working on. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about the conference?
Sure. So I'm a founding member of Juntos. I'm on the board. There are six board members in total from different places in Latin America and the Caribbean. I'm also the president and founder and owner of TBO, a multilingual translation company with offices in Argentina, Peru, Mexico, Ukraine, and Vietnam. We're heavily involved in the provision of talent for this industry and to related industries as well. On a personal level, I'm from a country far, far away, New Zealand, the edge of the earth, down under. But I've been living in Argentina for it's almost 30 years now. And I have four children, so I'm kind of stuck here.
You're stuck there.
I'm stuck here, but I enjoy being here. So there you go. And New Zealand isn't a bad plan B to have in my back pocket just in case. But I am in Argentina, and I do travel very widely.
Yeah, I know. I follow you on Instagram, and I'm like, for the longest time, I had no idea where you even lived because I just see pictures of you all over the place. And I knew you're from New Zealand. I thought you lived there, but you're down in Argentina. But you know what? There's worse places to be stuck in the world. So I think that's all right. Well, tell us, you know, this is the, you just finished up the third annual Juntos event in Latin America, and we've had you on the show before and talked about it a little bit before, but Charles, let's go to you first and talk to us a little bit about, like, what was the, that we have so many conferences in our industry, there's so many options for people to choose when it comes to spending their travel budget. What was the driving force? What was the need that you're trying to address when you decided to start Juntos?
Well, we certainly weren't thinking about people's travel budgets when we started it. Otherwise, we probably would have never started it, since budgets
This is a good point, not just to give you a little bit plug. Juntos is a pretty affordable, like, you can spend a lot of money on some of these conferences in our industry and really break the bank. And Juntos, let's just say, is really an accessible conference. And that's one thing that I've always admired about it.
Sure. I mean, we started out Juntos, the organization, with the objective of raising the bar of standards in Latin America and the Caribbean in the translation, localization, and interpreting industry. And we mean to do that by many different things, but among others, promoting face-to-face events in which people could network, benchmark, coach, mentor, learn, teach, and so forth. And that is why we felt it was essential to organize an on-site face-to-face event. I mean, we're just coming out of the pandemic. It was 4 years ago,
right?
And people were sick of virtual events. And also, Latin America is a very large region. Latin America and the Caribbean is around the size of the United States and Canada combined. And distances are very large in terms of getting from one place to another. And very often what would happen is that someone in Brazil or Mexico or Argentina or Chile or Peru would know more about what was going on in Boston or in Seattle or in London or in Berlin than they did about other parts of Latin America and the Caribbean. It's the same goes with Africa. It's like you want to get a flight. It's so much easier to get a flight from Africa to Europe than a flight inside Africa from one place to another. So we felt that Juntos had an objective there to raise the bar in the industry. There's so much going on in Latin America and the Caribbean. People weren't really hearing about it. There weren't really events to gather people together, to break bread, share ideas, and learn from each other. And that's why we started doing the on-site conferences. The first one was in Rio de Janeiro 3 years ago. The second one was in Lima, Peru. And think about it, that these are places that have never had a translation or localization or interpreting conference on an international scale organized there before.
As much as we love San Jose and Dublin and Barcelona, it's nice to have some conferences, you know, off that beaten path a little bit, right? Give some love to the rest of the world. And by San Jose, I mean California.
In part, I think it's because the organizers of the major conferences in the industry are also under cost pressure, and they often sign multi-year agreements with one hotel. So they will go to, I don't know, Dublin or wherever every second year for the next 6 years. And you know, that's fine. I understand that. I'm not criticizing that. But with Juntos, we wanted to organize the summit, which is called Vamos Juntos. Bearing in mind that Juntos in Spanish means together, and in Portuguese it's spelled exactly the same way, and it's pronounced Juntos, means together, bringing people together in different places around the region. So that's why we had in the Middle East of the Latin American region, Rio de Janeiro, and then the Middle West of the region in Lima, and then up to Mexico, and then next year down to Argentina. So we're kind of doing the rounds, so to speak, to bring people together rather than doing the same old, same old. As much as I would like to go to the beach in Rio de Janeiro every year.
Right. Very cool. Kathy, you had a couple different sessions there. I know you were on a panel and you also did a talk. Tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about your experience. How'd you get roped into this by Charles? What was your experience like? And then tell us a little bit about your talk that you had done there.
You know, the experience was great. It was wonderful. It was such a great conference, great organization. We're so thankful. It was the first time for us. This was very special because I don't know if you heard, Tucker, but I was there with my sisters, Carl and Karina, and they're also in the localization industry.
Oh,
So
nice.
it was very endearing for us to do this presentation together, you know, for a first time. So you get to know a little bit more about the K sisters and how we are transforming our service relationships into partnerships with the LSPs that we work with. So we tackle different points. We talk about what is a successful partnership, what's a poor partnership, and the steps, you know, that we can work on. I remember Karina mentioning, you know, that we're all humans, you know, we make mistakes. So the idea is to keep working and learning from each other. And and then we had the buyers panel. That was very interesting because we had a lot of questions in there. We talk a lot about AI, and we coincide with what Renato say at the ending, in his ending note, that the TEP is kind of outdated, and now it's more focused on, I work with Gen AI, so we're focusing more on light machine translation or full machine translation post-editing.
Yeah, and so not to skip ahead too much here, but what would you feel were some of the key takeaways? I'm going to ask both of you this, but I'll start with Kathy. What were some of your key takeaways from the conference? Things that you learned, or kind of ideas that you were exposed to that made you really think about it on the plane ride home?
Well, you know, Jan's presentation or reskilling new language technologies and highlighting the importance of being curious and adapting to change. Then one of the things I really liked was Nora's presentation. She did show us about AI chatbots and the different outputs that she got from different Gen AI translation engines and how we should use them effectively. Then we had a good talk with Javi. We all love Javi.
Oh boy.
So yeah, so we talk about the human side of social selling. Then there were so many good presentations, you know. The one that the women leaders panel did that was very important, you know, having the right business and the personal partners and continuous learning. We always talk about imposter syndrome and embracing culture of failure, not culture, failure. Yeah.
So, and was it a lot of, well, let's go to you, Charles, about key takeaways here before I move on to my next question. Because you've
Sure.
been
Before
doing
I
this
tell
three
you about my
years.
key. Oh yeah, it just gets better and better. Before I get on to the key takeaways, I was just remembering that having the three sisters there was amazing. And Cecilia Maldonado, who's always very witty, coined the phrase the Kardashians, the Peruvian Kardashians. It was great. Wonderful for Juntos to have people from the buyer's side at the event. That was basically the first time for us, and we were thrilled to have them at the conference, and also representatives of other organizations like Uber and Rotary. So it was great. So my key takeaways, I mean, it just gets better and better. I've been to all three summits so far. The first one was in Rio with 55 people. The second one in Lima was 150 people. And in Mexico City, we were just over 140. As I said, these are places that aren't normally on the map for events. So people went to the event with a lot of expectations to be able to combine some kind of off event, tourist attraction, like going to the Machu Picchu ruins in Peru after the event, or touring the city in Rio de Janeiro. And Mexico City definitely didn't disappoint in that regard. I went to the Teotihuacan pyramids. We had amazing food. We always have amazing food. It is Latin America, and the diversity of Latin America and the Caribbean is manifest. You know, it's not all tacos in Latin America and the Caribbean, as some people think. And there certainly was no Tex-Mex food available in in Mexico City. It really was an amazing event in many different ways. We had just better and better speakers. People were very excited. We had a rooftop party in which there was a lunar eclipse.
Wow.
Followed by an earthquake in which they sounded siren.
Yeah.
And then to cap it off, we had some tango dancers come in to announce Argentina, Buenos Aires as the next site for the event. So really, from many different angles, from the quality of the presentations to the quality of the installations and cuisine, the quality of the destination itself, the social and networking aspect, really, it didn't disappoint on any front. And as you said, Tucker, it is an affordable conference. Literally, it costs a third of what a comparable conference would cost in North America, which I think is just amazing.
Yeah.
And included the meals, you know, included beef, included fish, chicken. It's not like certain conference that you go, it's just mac and cheese or very, you know, you don't get choices. So was a highlight for me. So, 'cause you're hungry, you know, you don't want to go outside and look for food.
Well, yeah, I know, you know, the conferences are what we're supposed to get excited about. Like, the official line is, oh my gosh, I learned so much. The speakers were great. The keynote speaker was awesome. Oh my gosh, I took so many notes. That's the official line. That's what you tell your boss when you get back, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I talk to a lot of people about a lot of conferences, and one of the things that they always talk about first is the food. How was the food? And for 3 years now, I've been hearing about the food in Latin America because of the Vamos Juntos conference, right? It seems like I think you've nailed the ratio between professional development, learning panels, and stuff like that. And as you were mentioning, the side stuff, the tourist stuff, you have it in these events. You have these events in places where, there are different offsite excursions and things that you can do, and the food and the parties, and you hear tango dancers. It's the first I've heard about that, right? But it's important. It's important, right? Because and I always say that the two things I always hear people talk about, not to say it's all that they talk about, but the two things I always hear people talk about is the keynote speaker and the food at every conference out there.
Well, that's the thing. Latin America is so diverse. So the food in Argentina next year will be totally different from the food we just had in Mexico. Mm-hmm. The food in Lima, Peru, with an ocean view from the dining area, was really top of the world. And in Rio de Janeiro, we were right literally in front of the beach. We didn't have a beach view like in Lima, but we could just walk across the road to the beach. So these obviously add a lot of, special condiments to the event. And we had a opening keynote from Evandro Magalhães. Mm-hmm. And then we had a closing keynote from Renato Beninato. So it was like a Brazilian takeover, which was very interesting.
The Brazilians are overrepresented there, it sounds like. You need to.
Oh, you know, Evandro is very sonorous and philosophical. And Renato is certainly more kind of humorous and bombastic, if you like. But it was a great opening and closing of the event. But we did have people from all over. I mean, there were people from Peru, from Argentina, from El Salvador, from Mexico, of course, from Colombia. We had a lot of people from the United States.
Yeah.
It's important to remember that a lot of people who work in the translation, localization, and interpreting industry in the United States have a connection to some other country. And very often that can be through Latin America, either through immigration or through military service or through some church involvement. But a lot of people who are in the translation, localization, and interpreting ecosystem in the United States have a very strong connection to Latin America. So we had a lot of Americans there, also Canadians. We had someone from China, someone from Australia, Canada, of course. It was wonderful. So really, it was the highest caliber of speakers I've ever come across at an event. I mean, every single presentation was just knocked it out of the park. So really, I'm very excited about next year. I mean, it's like, gosh, how do we beat that? I don't know.
Well, you mentioned that, well, historically, Vamos Juntos, I mean, it was designed to kind of be a place for Latin American companies and professionals to get together within Latin America, view different parts of Latin America, all of that stuff. And you mentioned you're having more and more client-side professionals come. So this year you had different representatives from buyers of localization services. Is that a trend do you expect in 2026? Do you expect to attract more buyers? Or give me the pitch. And Kathy, maybe this is a question for you before we ask Charles, because you're one of those golden CVs that has both client side and vendor side experience on it. So maybe you can see it from both sides here. What is the appeal for a buyer side localization professional to go to Juntos, Vamos Juntos?
You know, initially I was afraid because I'm thinking I'm coming from the buyer side, but no, I got to learn so much about the tools, the vendors, new vendors. You know, I got to set up meetings afterwards to see their products and to see if we can have partnerships in the future too. So I think for me, it was very, very useful to learn more about South American companies. I didn't know, for example, I'm from Peru. I didn't know there are companies from Peru that are doing so well in localization. So that's very nice and endearing to see. So yeah, it's just to be able to work with more smaller service providers than these big companies that take over, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of big buyers out there. They do want to explore that. They want to go with the smaller, more professional, more specialized vendors. And if they're going to do that, the best way to do it is to go meet them in person, talk to them on their home turf. What do you think, Charles?
Well, I call the buyer side the dark side.
Yeah, I do too.
We had several attendees.
Usually not live on air, but.
Yeah, we had several Siths in attendance. It was great. I talked to Jose Palomares, who wears two hats as president of the Globalization and Localization Association on the one hand, and also a senior manager, I believe, at Coupa Software on the other hand. Mm-hmm. And he said that at Gala, they are having more buyers attend as well. So I think
heard that, yeah.
It's a mixing of the waters here. Still, obviously, individual companies or even individual practitioners at some events will outnumber the buyers. But buyers are definitely getting more curious, and they're seeing value in attending events like Juntos. Juntos has no competing event in Latin America. You know, some people will bounce the ball around, say, do I go to Gala or do I go to ALIA or do I go to EUATC and are not really sure what to do. Whereas in Juntos, it is the only event that is held in Latin America and the Caribbean every year. We're expecting
don't the Brazilians
200 people in Buenos Aires.
Yeah, the Brazilians have an event down there, but I think it's all in Portuguese, so not very accessible to the rest of Latin America.
Right. You will have local associations organizing events here in Argentina. Translated in Argentina is organizing an event for September. The Argentinian Association of Linguistic Services organizes an executive retreat every year. But they are local events. Bliss, the association in Brazil that you were talking about, organized a really cool conference last year in June. I attended and spoke there. It was wonderful in Rio de Janeiro, of course. But these are local associations. So to get the Pan-American view, so to speak, Vamos Juntos is your choice. And having buyers attend is wonderful. I believe it adds a viewpoint that you won't get necessarily from practitioners or vendor companies. And I think there's a lot for everybody to earn. Nobody is a second-class citizen of Vamos Juntos.
Awesome.
Everyone is just mingling, sharing ideas, benchmarking, coaching, mentoring. There's so much to learn.
And I love that because, just being real, I do feel like at some conferences, there's this bifurcation. There's buyer side, vendor side. right? And there is kind of a second class citizenship when it comes to like calls for papers and stuff like that. And it's always just kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. It might all be in my head. Who knows? But I love that egalitarian nature of it, that everyone's just there to share ideas. And the other aspect is, you know, talking to buyers is, you know, sometimes a lot of them don't want to go to conferences that have that big discrepancy because they don't want to spend 3 days getting sold to nonstop the whole time, right? And I think a smaller conference is kind of the way to go for some of those buyers because it's more intimate. It's more about relationships. It's more about the networking, sharing ideas. Although I could be off base on that.
Yeah, I can understand that no one wants to be mobbed
right
at a conference. That said, you know, I think we've all gone around the block enough times in the industry to understand that often the very best way to sell your services is to not sell at all and just be yourself and say what you need to say, and then people will come to you. They will gravitate to you. That's sort of the approach I take. I mean, you know, the notion of pull rather than push.
Yep.
Pushy people don't sell well, and that's a fact. At least in the Western Hemisphere. Sometimes I do believe at trade fairs in South Asia and East Asia, it's different. You got to push or you're not getting anywhere.
Fair enough.
But that's a different, you know, cultural context. You know, we're in a changing world. I was just sipping away at my Starbucks coffee mug, which says Paris. It's made in China. And the coffee is from Colombia, but toasted in Seattle. So I'm just wondering how many different tariffs are going to be involved getting this coffee to us in the future. And, you know, companies have their processes set up, you know, their factory in such and such a place, their distribution center somewhere else. And they can't magically move them just because governments are creating tariffs. They, you know, any moving of factories will be slow. And the consequences in different economic levels could be very bad before they are good, if they are good at all.
Yeah.
So one example is the pharmaceutical industry in Ireland, which is mostly export oriented for the United States and other countries. So you've got to wonder, how's that going to work out? And how is Starbucks going to get the beans from Colombia to Seattle and then to Paris? Will that make sense in the new economy? Maybe, you know, supply chains are going to have to change. And it's going to be an extremely challenging period of time. I've noticed, for example, that services, i.e. translation and localization and Netflix and pretty much anything else you could buy online is not included in these tariffs. So maybe localization will just push ahead, you know, services. The tariffs are about goods that are come on a boat, train, plane, or automobile, not something that's online. And that's on purpose,
I believe,
because the United States is a big, big services exporter. So, you know, there's going to be disruption, but, you know, how will it pan out? I don't know.
Maybe Kathy knows.
Going back to what Tucker was saying about smaller conferences versus bigger conferences, I think you nailed it, because Vamos Juntos, you know, was more human. People will approach us and we talk about our experiences, but at no point anybody was trying to really sell us our services or what they do. It was just about networking, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
On the other hand, bigger conference like Logworld, right? You'd get it's multiple cultures, right? And, and there it's bigger and there is more of a goal there. And yeah, it's still you do a lot of networking, but there are much more LSPs or products that come to try to sell you their services.
Yeah, and I love the big conferences. I love Logworld. I mean, it's the only conference I consistently go to, really. I mean, I don't get to travel as much as I used to because I got kids nowadays. But I love the big conferences, but I also love the smaller conferences because when I go to a big conference, there's so many people, so many people, it's just overwhelming. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to talk to everybody. And I'm always getting the, and because of that, what I've found is it means that even when I am having connections and conversations with people there, it lowers the quality of those conversations. Why? Because as I'm talking to someone, there's something in the back of my mind says, oh, I can't just stand here and talk to this person for 45 minutes. I got to go network. I got to go talk to the next person. I got to leave this conversation and leave this human connection that I'm making and go make another human connection. And when I go to, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying, like, that's what I've noticed about myself. Now, when I go to a smaller conference, there's actually time to meet up with everybody, to talk with everybody. And to, I don't feel rushed. I don't feel overwhelmed when I go to some of these smaller conferences. It's what I like about, like, this super smaller conferences. Like here in Seattle, we have the Seattle Localization User Group thing that does the every, you know, once a month, I think on Thursdays that they have their events. Up in Vancouver, I've gone to a couple of those, Vancouver, British Columbia, up in Canada. A couple of those events. You know, we're talking like 20, 30 people. Love it. It's perfect. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a good size for me. But, you know, I'm not saying you need to go back to 20, 30 people, Charles. Mm-hmm. I think 150 sounds just about right to me.
Yeah, I think in Buenos Aires, we're going to have more people just because there is a larger local ecosystem of translators, localizers, interpreters, engineers, project managers, and so forth in Buenos Aires than there is in Mexico.
Argentina is not, like, the hub for localization in South America.
Argentina is like modern plumbing. It's connected to every home. you know, whereas Mexico, there is a sizable industry in Mexico, but it's definitely more domestically focused. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of companies that have in-house departments doing translation and interpreting rather than outsourcing. So the number of companies in the ecosystem is smaller. And it was not easy to reach local universities or Mexico. We did have a panel from universities, correct myself. It wasn't easy to reach local companies or the local ecosystem in Mexico. We did have a lot of Mexican attendees. We had several Mexican speakers, but not quite as many as we thought. But you know, that's the nature of the conference. It is attended from people from all over. In Lima, we had people from Ukraine, from Vietnam, as I said, from Australia. I mean, people really traveled the world to get there. One person had taken four flights, so you know, and a bus. Wow. So there you go. But I think that the Buenos Aires event will be larger. We will be closer to 200 people just because of the local ecosystem. And we're definitely looking for people from the buyer's side to attend and speak. We're looking for sponsors. We had a lot of sponsors in Mexico City. I was really amazed at that. You know, we'll see. It's early days. We have 11 months to get organized. And right now we're focusing on the venue, which is always the single hardest part. So I'll be going to Buenos Aires and meeting one of my fellow board member who's from Buenos Aires, and we'll be scouting out some venues at the end of the month. But once you have the venue organized, right now we have so many people who want to speak at Vamos Juntos. It's amazing. We had, when we did our call for papers, so many amazing speakers send papers in that we basically ended up booking half of the 2026 conference with the 2025 call for papers.
Wow.
So, you know, very excited. Love to see you there, Tucker.
I know.
OD'd on the Brazilians. Time to have an American.
Well, let's watch those tariffs and see if you still want an American down there next year. You might change your mind about that. I might not be welcome. But yeah, I don't get to travel as much as I used to. I really, really want to go because Renato goes every year. Eddie from Multilingual goes every year. I'm sure he's going to be writing about it. I saw he already did a podcast and stuff talking about it. And it's just like, I feel like Vamos Juntos is like the secret, like the open secret or like the best kept secret that everyone's kind of talking about behind the scenes, like people that I actually care about, what they have to say, are talking about Vamos Juntos and saying really good things about it. So it's certainly on my list to get down there. Especially now, I know it's in Argentina. It'd be good to go back to Argentina. I haven't gotten a chance to spend a lot of time on Buenos Aires.
Well, Argentina is far away. We thought about it for quite a while. I mean, we were looking at Colombia and Argentina, yeah. And we thought, you know, and the backup option was if none of them worked, then we'd go back to Rio de Janeiro, which is sort of in the middle and on the beach and cheap. Everyone loves cheap.
I like cheap. And on the beach. And beach.
Yeah, cheap beach sounds great.
Yes.
But Argentina is far away, so your airfares are going to cost more.
Fair.
That's
fair.
A fact. But Argentina is a fascinating place. And as you said, it's connected in to this industry. It's wired in to almost everyone. Yeah. All the LSPs have somebody in Argentina. All of the buyers have some connection to Argentina. There's a lot of Argentinians working in the industry. Now, you know, right next to Argentina is Chile. Chile is one of the most internationalized economies in the world. I don't know what they're going to do now with these tariffs, but they are heavily into free trade, internationalized economy, globalized economy. They have half the population of Argentina. They have around about 1% of the participation in this industry that Argentina has.
Huh.
How do you explain that? I don't know. I mean, they're half the population. It's a very internationally looking country. But the localization and translation and interpreting industry there is tiny in comparison. So Argentina really is a hub. I mean, not meaning to compare, but there's just so much going on in Argentina in terms of conferences, workshops, events, associations.
Yeah, there really is.
Everyone seems to have a connection. Even the Brazilians have a connection to Argentina.
They just don't like to admit it.
Renato himself used to own and manage a company in Argentina.
Oh, Renato,
of course, Argentina.
All of this that we're talking about, the phenomenon of why Argentina is the powerhouse in the localization industry, Renato takes credit for all of that. You know that, right? Like, that's because of him. He started that. So
that's also like him taking credit for Argentina winning the World Cup.
Yeah, well, he probably does that too.
I think the wine.
Yeah, it's the wine.
He has a strong connection to Argentina, and he has been speaking at events in Argentina forever.
Yeah.
I've attended numerous seminars of his in Argentina and elsewhere, and it's wonderful. That one of the things about Vamos Juntos is to try and get that level of exposure that Argentina has in other countries like Peru. Nobody had ever organized a sizable event in Peru for translation and localization and interpreting before. In fact, we were told it cannot be done, and why would you do it before we did it?
Why?
And David Migo from Bilingual, who did all the logistics for the conference in Lima, said, we're going to do it, and you're going to have an amazing time, and we're going to learn a lot. And that's how it happened, you know.
What were some of the reasons
we're
putting
Latin America on the map?
Why were people saying it cannot be done? Was there any specific reasons, or is it just kind of?
Well, I mean,
thinking?
It's like why Peru? You know, why not?
It's
why
not hot in localization, probably, right? Like Argentina.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, why not Peru? Amazing cuisine, great airport connections. You know, a reasonably sized local community of translators and interpreters. And we had a wonderful time, and people really enjoyed it. We had an ocean view from the cafeteria isn't the word. It was the JW Marriott with an ocean view. Cafeteria is not the word. It was the 5-star restaurant. So, you know, it worked out really, really well. And okay, for some people, some people in this industry think that a 4-hour flight is a long flight. Well, shame on them, because they're in globalization and localization. That's not a long flight. So going to
that's
Peru,
not even a long layover. That's not even a long layover.
Going to Peru is, you know, is going somewhere. It's 6, 7, 10, 12 hours, 18 hours, depending on where you are on this planet. But I really felt that we need to break out of those central locations where conferences tend to be organized on a repetitive basis. And people made the trek. I mean, there were 155 people at Vamos Juntos in Lima. Mm. So Buenos Aires, it's a longer trek, but we're aiming for 200 people.
Nice. Well, and you said you already got a lot of the speaker slots filled with all the calls for papers that you got. Kathy, are you going to be speaking next year?
Yeah, that'd be great to go with the case sisters. Yeah, why
nice.
Not? Maybe we'll present a
it
case.
It would be wonderful. It would be wonderful to have you back. I mean, nothing is formally filled, Tucker. It's penciled in.
Sure. What are some of the topics? I'm curious. Like, what? Because I'm sure you get a lot of requests or proposals for speakers that kind of all want to talk about the same thing. Are there any trends that you see as far as what people want to talk about and what people want to hear about?
Well, Vamos Juntos doesn't have a theme like some other conferences where they kind of try and fence you in terms of what you talk about. Language access was a huge topic at Vamos Juntos because of the executive order to create English as the official language of the United States and some other quick moves by government departments to shut down some contracts and so forth. Language access was definitely a hot topic and people were very passionate and revved up about it. So that was sort of like informally, if you like, a track.
Okay.
And there especially ramifications for interpreting. We had a lot of very high profile people from the interpreting industry, especially the United States, attending, which was wonderful. And then, of course, there was a huge amount of talk about AI, bringing it down to a practical level on how companies are already using it and how people are already using it, rather than focusing. I think last year was about how, you know, be afraid of it or not be afraid of it.
Right.
It was more like, how are you already using it?
That's what I've been saying recently. It's like nowadays, like now in 2025, when I'm talking to someone about AI or doing a podcast about AI, we're using demos, whereas a year ago we were using PowerPoint decks. Right? Like nowadays there's actually tools that you can show me a demo, you can show me an actual solution. Whereas like a year ago, 2 years ago, it was PowerPoint and like here's what I think that you should think about it. But the dust is kind of settling and there's some good practical applications out there.
Oh, it's a huge revolution. And but at Vamos Juntos, we had a bit of everything. I mean, Jan Hinrichs, as Kathy said, gave an amazing presentation. He also organized a lock drinks event.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, to have the founder of the movement there. We had a Pro-Z powwow, which was really cool as well. There's just so many different things going on. There is no, as I said, no track, no suggestions about what to talk about. We haven't made a formal decision in Buenos Aires about that. But one thing we did learn was in Mexico, we had a great big room that you could split in two. And it sounded easy on paper, but actually when they had to split the room into two, it was very awkward and time consuming. And it actually made us get behind schedule, especially on the first day. So I'm pretty sure that we will not be splitting rooms in Buenos Aires. It will either be one big room or two rooms to start with. Rather than having this sliding wall appear during the coffee breaks. So, you know, lots to learn. And we're not professional conference organizers. Myself and the other board members do not get paid. We donate our time and we depend on speakers like Kathy putting their names forwards. And I mean, we had Karen Decker, president of the Association of Language Companies. We had, as I said, Jan Hinrichs, founder of Lock Lunch. We had Jose Palomares, president of Gala.
Yeah, you had like, this is what's so cool about conferences in our industry is like, there's no competition here. So it's like you had all of these other people from all of these other conferences, Gala, Lock Lunch, and Lock Drinks. I'm not even going to try to list all of them, but all of these other people, it's like you said, it's a real who's who of people, influencers in the language services industry.
But you know,
tremendously so.
It feels more like a high school reunion. You know, it's very friendly and it's not like, oh, what are you doing? You know, like, no, it's like we're friends and we learn from what we do and how we operate.
Yeah. That's what's cool about going to when I am able to go to conferences and stuff in this industry. It's just like, you're absolutely right, Kathy. It feels like a high school reunion. It's like, oh, I get to go hang out with my friends that I haven't seen because it didn't feel like that the first time I went to a conference. It didn't feel like that the second time I went to a conference. But you get out there, you network, you go to enough events, and after a while you start to see the same faces, and it's just a really cool environment to be in. And even though it's like a lot of us in this industry, we work from home, we work remotely, we're not going into the office every day and going out to lunch with our colleagues, a lot of us, not all of us, it's still, you have that opportunity to stay connected. All it takes is a little bit of travel.
Well, maybe the idea is to get off the beaten track a little. I mean, I have sort of made a purposeful intent to go to the farthest flung places as possible. So I was in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia in November at the Translation Forum. Mm. There, I was in Zanzibar at the East Africa Interpreters and Translators Association event in February. I'm attending the African Language Companies Association first in on-site event in Cape Town in August. And I think I'm going to SAMVED, which is the event that the Indian Translation Company Association organizes in New Delhi. So it's like the calendar is full of amazing places. And we are working in the industry of localization and globalization. So we got to know the world. We're investing in our cultural intelligence by attending these events. There is a business case justification for spending money on these events and getting out and seeing the world. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
100% agree. Well, Kathy, Charles, I'm watching the clock here, and I think it's about time to wrap up. I'll let you have any closing thoughts. We've covered a lot today, but and Kathy, what do you have to say to people that are considering their travel itinerary for 2026?
I think Buenos Aires has a lot of good Michelin restaurants. This is one of the things that I would love my sister to do, go to different restaurants. I've been to Buenos Aires before, and I've done a tour of the cemetery, which is very, very nice. It's wonderful. It has a lot of marble sculptures in there. It has a lot of culture. So you will love, if you're a steak person, you will love all the beef in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I second that. Charles, closing thoughts.
Well, I definitely think Buenos Aires is going to be on everyone's agenda next year. We are in very turbulent times. It's difficult to plan ahead. It's difficult to know what's going to happen. Things are unpredictable. But at the end of the day, our industry is not directly reached by these tariffs. And a lot of the drivers of localization demand are not reached by these tariffs either. The need for talent is going to grow as immigration declines to the United States, and new businesses are moving around and so forth. So it's going to be an extremely interesting time. We're all going to be looking for answers. We're all going to be looking to network, coach, and mentor. And Vamos Juntos in Buenos Aires will be an amazing opportunity for that. It's a destination that many people have been to, but maybe not they haven't been there in a while. And Argentina in general is one of those places where it changes every single day. It's one of the most changeable countries you will ever encounter. But you come back after 10 years of not being there, and it's just the same. So it's a real paradox, and people will be able to enjoy the local cuisine. And there are many, many different side trips and things that people can do in terms of going to the glaciers in Patagonia. They can come to Cordoba, Argentina, and hang out with me. They have a barbecue at my house. But there's also a million different things in Argentina. So there's the wine district in Mendoza, the Iguazu waterfalls on the border with Brazil. So I don't think the conference will disappoint in any way. And we are hoping to have many people from the buyer side, the dark side, like Kathy, attending. Mm-hmm. And we're working hard. First step is to get the venue sorted, and then the rest will fall into place.
Oh, awesome. I think that's quite the sales pitch. All right, I'm gonna take us out here, guys. Ladies, gentlemen, chat, we're out of time for today. If you enjoyed the Simsy Live experience, and join us next time on April 22nd when I'll be talking to Kiwa Digital and Voice Q. We're talking about next-gen storytelling and localization. I'll be gone for a couple of weeks, but we're going to come back in the end of April and continue these Simsy Live conversations. If you're not already signed up, make sure to go sign up for that. Once again, finally, my name is Tucker Johnson, host of NIMSY Live, and it has been my pleasure to join you all today. I appreciate our guests today, Kathy and Charles. I appreciate all of you guys in the comment section. I didn't get to any comments. I'm sorry about that. It was just too much good conversation happening. And I appreciate everybody in our industry who fills out those surveys and contributes to NIMSY's research so that we can share all of our good research with you. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.